Listen up, Direct Impact Nation. You know how important routine, structure, consistency, and accountability is on the road to recovery and personal discovery. Well, I have developed the perfect companion for you on your journey. My Plan to Recover journal is thoughtfully and specifically designed for the person looking to achieve long-term success in recovery while gaining personal insight, awareness, emotional intelligence, and spiritual integrity. The Plan to Recover journal will help you stay recovery-minded, practice your priorities, and build a healthy relationship with self and others 12 hours at a time. To preview and pre-order your copy today, visit www.lightninginabottle.biz/journal. That's www.lightninginabottle.biz/journal. And don't forget to get a PTR journal for a friend on their journey too. Direct Impact Nation will save 15% when you use the promo code IMPACT. That's promo code IMPACT. With the purchase of your PTR journal, you will become part of an exclusive community dedicated to recovery and self-discovery. Visit www.lightninginabottle.biz and let us take you from want to willing and from willing to healing. Welcome to Direct Impact, where we discuss the various ways our mental health and quality of life intersect. I'm your host, Andrea Epstein, licensed professional counselor, master's addictions counselor, and certified sex therapist. Think of our time together as focused self-reflection mixed with insight, passion, and empowerment. Now, take a deep breath. Now let's dive in and see what impacts you today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is your host, Andrea Epting, and you are listening to A Candid Conversation on Direct Impact. We are talking this season about intimacy betrayal, and today I wanted to have a casual, candid conversation with two amazing women who have been in the throes of intimacy betrayal and are willing to talk a little bit about their lived experience for the benefit of our audience. It's hard to tell you're in it when you're in it sometimes, and relating to other people's stories sometimes can awaken something inside of you. So that's what we're looking for today. So without any further ado, I would love for you guys to introduce yourself to the audience.
I'm a 54-year-old mom of two adult children. I was a medic for 13 years. I now work in the sports industry, hockey. I am a very creative person. Most of my life, though, what's important to me is children, animals, and creative kind of aspects of the world, I guess I could say.
First off, I'm really glad to be here today. And I'm also a mother and a grandmother, and spent my career in the corporate world doing medical research. And being a mother and a grandmother is much more fun and rewarding. But I have traveled the world and done many different things in many different countries. And the last place I ever thought I'd end up is in a relationship like this.
That's right. And I think it's really important that we bring to light, again, how smart, how wise, how intelligent, and how much you supported the people in your life. And I think, you know, to what you said, you never anticipate being in a situation like that. So would you mind sharing a little bit about your story of intimacy betrayal, a little bit about your unique relationship, your partnership?
Sure. So about almost 10 years ago, I met a man, and we became friends, and we were friends for a couple of years, and then we started dating for a couple of years. And I say that just to point out that I didn't like meet him in Vegas and marry him there, you know, by a Elvis preacher or whatever. You know, it was like a relationship of slow growth and getting to know one another, and one in which I thought I knew him and thought there weren't many surprises, but there were. And maybe I should preface this by saying, you know, I grew up in a family with some dysfunction. And I had a mother who has ha a lot of narcissistic traits. And I think that predisposes you, and from the many, many women I've met, it sort of predisposes you to take care of other people and to try to anticipate and just to try to control your environment to be safe by taking care of other people and making them happy. And I think that kind of predisposed me to be in this sort of a relationship. Although I didn't know it, you know, I thought I was a pretty savvy and discerning one.
And I might
Though
say,
I
in other
wasn't.
areas of life, you are.
In other areas of life, yeah. In my relationship, no, I wasn't. But so one day I found out about my husband's secret sexual world, and it was like a bomb went off in my life. I had no idea. And I thought he was a very honorable man. I so admired him, loved him immensely. And when I found out about his secret sexual world, it just everything shattered. My heart, literally, I just broke into a million different pieces. And I just he left because I was just so just crying and, you know, and out of it. And so he left and went to Vegas, actually. And I stayed home for 3 days and just curled up in bed. I didn't eat, I didn't sleep, I didn't drink any water even. And it was just this devastation of my world, really. And part of it is too, I think if you do believe that you're a savvy and discerning person, you think you understand your world. You think you understand your life. You think you know who you are, and you think you know where you've been. You think you understand your past, you know, and you believe that, you know, or I believed I married a man. I understood my present. I understood what my future would be like. But in that moment of discovery, you realize you're not savvy, you're not discerning, you've been epically fooled. And therefore, everything else in your life is called into question. Who you are fundamentally as a person, how many other relationships were you in where you didn't really understand the other person, didn't know them? Who are you really that you can be so duped? So you have to go back to the very beginning of your life and re-examine every relationship. And it's a long, hard struggle.
I heard you once describe it as stepping on an IED.
Yeah. I mean, there is that sense that everything is shattered and everything is broken, and you have to fix it, and you have no idea how to fix it. And you're just sitting there among shards of broken things, just blown like a bomb, and you're all black and sooty, and you know, parts of you are damaged, and you're trying to figure out what those parts are, and you're trying to put it all back together. And it just seems an insurmountable task. You know, how can you ever get back to any kind of normalcy in your life? Yeah.
Normalcy being that tough thing, because what was normal at the time is something we actually don't want to return to.
Right.
And I think that comes with a whole set of grief and loss, beyond what you even anticipate, because there is no returning to normal.
Yeah, and at first you don't know that. You know, you're like, I said a million times, crying usually, I just want my old life back. I just want my old life, my pre-discovery life back. But, you know, there was a lot of duplicity in that life. You know, I didn't understand really who my husband was. I wouldn't want that life back. I wouldn't want the old me back who was so indiscriminately trusting, you know. I needed to grow up in many ways. And so, but at first you don't know that. You don't realize that. You just want your unexploded world back where everything isn't broken and shattered.
And I think at that stage, for a lot of people, it is very natural and very human to escape back into some form of denial.
Yes.
And that is the first stage of the grieving process, is to deny what is happening to you and what has been happening to you unbeknownst, right? Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. How about you?
My story is a little bit different. I would say, the beginning might start off the same as I'm from a alcoholic family, parents and brothers. And so, and I had some sexual and physical abuse also as a child. But my story, I met my husband in a safe environment, background checked, you know, fingerprints, all those kind of things, pre-screened. And I knew him, we knew each other young, and it was more kind of the fairy tale story. I also saw his family. They looked like what I would call the Cleavers, you know, from Leave It the Beaver, the perfect little family, and the, you know, mom and dad, school teachers, and very, you know, involved, but really they were just really good at secrets. And so if you had seen me or met me, most people actually say how tough I was or how self-confident I was, what a, you know, strong individual. So how did I let this happen to me? Well, it didn't happen overnight for sure. But I also didn't know what to compare it to before, and, you know, what was healthy. And so it's kind of slowly built. I was married 25 years, and he was narcissistic. He is narcissistic. And very, very good manipulator, very good, kind of very good at gaslighting, deceptive, and used what life situations normally happen kind of against me. And I hadn't had anything to kind of to compare it to. My discovery, though, it wasn't like a bomb going off. It was more of he wanted a divorce. And I didn't realize that there was anything wrong or inappropriate or unhealthy or going on. And I'm not saying that it wasn't going on, because there was actually a lot of stuff going on, like a lot of going to strip clubs, getting massages with happy endings, affairs, emotional affairs, physical affairs. But it was woven as, oh, this is what like the cool kids do, or this is healthy, or look how healthy and open we are. We're discussing it. And he would tell me and communicate about it. So it wasn't secretive behind my back. So it wasn't something discovery, but he made it where my feelings, if they were against it, my feelings then were wrong and I didn't know better. And look at my past. So where did I learn to do those things? So I'm actually, I would say, slow discovery, and I'm still learning each day. I'm learning that a new situation, oh, that wasn't handled in, I don't know if the appropriate way I would say maybe the healthiest way, down from how I was treated or what was expected of me, sexual favors. And I should have realized, you know, it sounds so silly, but that I should have realized on our honeymoon, we got food poisoning, and I woke up every time I woke up in the night, my husband was watching porn, and he simply told me, oh, that's the only channel that they have. And blindly I believed him and thought, oh, he just can't sleep. And I just rolled over and went back to sleep. I wasn't gullible in most situations of my life, but here is a person I trusted. He, for some reason, I gave him the power of knowing better than me. At the beginning, my instincts were a little bit louder, But, you know, after the 25 years, they were getting a little more muted. Before that, actually, that he wanted a divorce, I had to go to treatment for depression because I felt like I was treading water. I kept wanting help, but I was getting help, but I wasn't getting better. And really, the mood of the situation wasn't I was depressed. It was, why was I depressed? And what had I had suppressed inside me for so long? And now I'm discovering that. And but I also didn't recognize who was after that. And I'm learning that also, who I am.
I love that. And I appreciate this very stark contrast to both of your experiences with discovery. You know, one was all at one time, bam, immediately life crushing. And the other was over time and after divorce.
And just listening to you talk about how your discovery was kind of gradual and over time, I don't mean to imply that, you know, when I found out that I found out everything, because I didn't, you know, I found out some. And then it was a period for years, really, of trickle truthing, a little detail here. And, you know, your mind comes so hypervigilant that it's like a supercomputer running all the time, you know, comparing back what the new thing that you learned to what you've been told about that particular instance or whatever. And you can piece things together over years. And it's been years, you know, the discovery takes years, I think, for many people. I certainly was one. And, you know, I mean, until we separated, it was still ongoing. I was still learning things that happened. And I also think as you get a little bit of time and distance from it, it's kind of like going around a mountain. First, you're on the base. You know, you go around the mountain over and over and over again. And there's this hideous sense of stasis, really, where you're just stuck in it and you relive it, you relive it, you relive it. But then I think over time and with good therapy, you get a little bit of a higher perspective. Like you're circling the mountain at 20 feet and then 80 feet and then a mile maybe even. And you're able to see more about what you didn't understand in the beginning because you were so shocked, or in your case, you were raised to believe that a lot of dysfunction was normal. And so when your husband normalized it for you, you accepted it. And I just think that, you know, for women who are going through this, that discovery process, even when you find out, boom, and it's like me, like a bomb going off, you still then get, you know, the experience, which is discovery that takes years. And
staggered disclosure.
And staggered. Mm-hmm. And then what you were told before wasn't true. And then that has to be revised. And so the foundation beneath your feet is constantly being eroded and put back together. It's a very, very unstabling and unsettling experience.
Yeah. I would say some of the times also where you have a discovery that's unexpected, where it hits you out of left field. Right. You know, what pops in my mind is driving in the car with my daughter, and I was telling her a story about something, and she started crying and was like, oh my God, do you see that? That's wrong. And I'm like, what part? What are you talking about? And she had to break it down and explain it to me. And those moments where you're not expecting it to process it or it to hit you or to realize that it's something happened, you know, like that you're in the car and you're supposed to be going somewhere and you're like, this is not a safe environment to do this. And this is also not it's out of left field. Mm-hmm. Those kind of hit you, I think, the hardest. Mm-hmm. And they're not as obvious.
Yeah. Sometimes other people, like in the case of your daughter, will say something and all of a sudden the puzzle pieces go together and you're like, whoa. And then sometimes your brain just does it on its own. You know, if you're reflecting or you're quietly having a cup of coffee or whatever, and all of a sudden those pieces come together and you go, now I understand what was going on in that situation. Wasn't at all what I thought. And you just, it just comes together. And it's a very I found it very unsettling, and I don't know where you could be there, where it would be safe. Maybe in a therapist's office it's safe, but you know, in real life, it just the rug is pulled out from under your feet sometimes, and you had no expectation that your brain was or your family was going to put it together for you.
And I think what I heard you say too, or highlight without even being aware of it, was the benefits of a group process. And I know both of you participate in a group process for intimacy betrayal. And sometimes it's not family or friends that bring something to light or to your attention. Sometimes it is in a safe environment with other betrayed partners who are telling their story. And it's like, bam, you know, that happened to me. There are elements of that story that or their story that start putting the pieces together for you in your story. And that does promote healing. Has that been y'all's experience?
It's been huge, the group setting. I know the group that I'm in right now, I've done twice. And the first time I participated, I didn't even acknowledge that my husband, ex-husband, was a sex addict until the PowerPoint about certain things. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. He checked that. I was like, oh, and I wasn't even, and it was just like the simple things of, you know, the basics of masturbating. I was like, oh, it's healthy that he's open and look at how healthy he's doing it several times a day. And he has a positive sexuality. And I was like, wait a minute, that's not normal. You know, it was from little things to that, you know, to the big things of, you know, making me do things that were against my moral code, I guess. You just don't realize it. But and I'm a person, it's easier for me to feel what other people feel or see. And so when I have someone else explain a situation or how they felt about it or when they break it down, it helps me think about it and more observe it in my own life and relate. But then it also helps validate that some of the things that happened in my life that they were wrong. And I'm like, okay, maybe that was not, I need to pause and give myself some grace that was a violation against me. And it was not, I was wronged. And that's really hard for me to accept.
And it shines light, right? Mm-hmm. It brings to light some things that have been in the shadows or shrouded in shame.
Yeah.
And it does it in a safe environment. What would you say to that?
The experience of discussing it within a group has also been really powerful for me. And what happened for me is that, you know, there were many, many things that husband did that were terrible and cruel and just really egregious. But I sort of just... I'm kind of a rationalizing person. And I just kind of went on and was like, well, that was a mean thing to say. And I went on and I didn't really have so much of the emotions connected to it, but we'd go to group and the other ladies would be talking about what happened to them. And it was just, I could see it in a new light and I would be so angry on their behalf, you know? And it's funny because I couldn't connect with that outrage for myself. But, you know, these women, these beautiful, smart, kind women, good moms, you know, very loving people, these horrible things were done to them. And I would just like turn into Medusa, you know, my hair would become snakes and, you know, I'd want to go find that man and hunt him down and, you know, mount a harpoon on my car and just chase him down and get him, you know. Not fantasy. Really. I don't have a harpoon on my car for anyone who might be thinking that. But, you know, just the anger that and the outrage that would overwhelm me on behalf of other women. But for myself, no, I just wasn't connected to that at all. So it's been healing in the sense of sort of connecting with the anger and the outrage that I have for them and that I should have had for myself, but for some reason was just missing.
I would add on that, since we are in the same group, it as the person when you're at pause and you see someone so angry for you and you're like, wait, that's not even the big stuff. And okay, why that are these people so angry for you and you're not have any feelings at all about it? Yeah. And it enlightens for you to take a closer look and maybe realize that there is something else going on, I guess I would say.
Yeah.
You shift into
that reflective place. It's like,
Yeah.
That's curious. Look at the anger that my story is eliciting in others, or yeah, that's very, very.
And it's a safe space for that anger too. It's a completely harpoon free environment. You know, you're with women who understand those feelings and, well, good. I'm glad there was some therapeutic value in my melting down and like standing in the corner, like shaking with anger.
It's also nice when someone has compassion too, because I know personally that not a lot of people have compassion or have showed that I'm the one that gives the compassion or the feelings or the comfort, and for someone else to actually have understanding and compassion or empathy for me is also helpful.
That takes me to a really important point of realizing, expressing, and communicating your own needs, which I think in abusive or dysfunctional relationships becomes dangerous or threatening to have needs or to express them. I think it offers an opportunity to identify and express need, even to have some of those needs met by other people.
Does anyone else feel like they just earned an extra brain wrinkle? Do you feel like that went by way too fast and just cannot wait till the next episode? Then leave a review and share this episode with a friend, a loved one, a coworker, or whomever, because your valued feedback makes a direct impact. Thank you for dropping in. Snaps to you, because you have made a direct impact by listening to this podcast. Make sure to follow us on social media and stay tuned every week for a new episode of Direct Impact with Andrea Epting. Here is our disclaimer and legal language. Yes, I'm a psychotherapist, but guess what? I'm not your psychotherapist, and I need to be clear that this podcast is solely for enhancement, education, and entertainment purposes only. It is in absolutely no way a replacement for professional counseling services. If you feel like you need additional support, we strongly encourage you to seek that out today. All right, guys, life can get hectic really fast. It feels like there's no time and we're always on the go. When you get overwhelmed with life's daily tasks, responsibilities, and unexpected challenges, important things like our health tend to fall to the wayside. Well, my friend, Healthy Cell is here to make taking care of yourself a priority. Healthy Cell makes getting back in the driver's seat much easier. They have an innovative approach to the pill format by using this awesome gel. This vitamin-packed, nutrient-dense gel can be taken by itself, mixed in your drink, or blended with your morning smoothie. Healthy Cell offers supplement packs to enhance your performance, focus, and well-being. Take control of your mental, physical, and physiological health with Healthy Cell. If this is something that you've been thinking about implementing, tap this episode, scroll to our show notes, and click the link for significant savings today. All right, click that link to support your health and our mission today. Now, enjoy the rest of the show. Hello. Hey there. Yeah, you. The one who's been consuming, absorbing, enjoying, and implementing our weekly content like a ravenous animal and can't wait to get more. We want to give you more of what you crave. So become a supporting member of the show and ensure that the content you hunger for is served fresh weekly. I know, it's free content and we love offering it, but it's not free to create, only to consume. So please consider our monthly membership offered through Patreon. Monthly membership includes access to useful life-enhancing PDFs with higher-level offerings in the works to include chats with Andrea, customized playlists, and more. Scroll down to our show notes and visit our website at www.lightninginabottle.biz/podcast. Visit us today and support the show.